A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." The Gospel of the Lord. When we think about the conversion of St. Paul, it's crucially important for us to remember what Pope Benedict said at the beginning of the Pauline year, which is only 3 years past, that St. Paul's conversion was not the way we normally think of conversion, from a wicked life to the path of holiness. It was from a false notion of the holy life to a true one. St. Paul, as we see at the beginning of today's first reading, was one who was zealous for the law of the Lord. He was one who was a very devout Pharisee. But like the Pharisees, as we see so many times in the Gospel, he thought that salvation was ultimately by his own doing in fidelity to the covenant of the Lord. It would be done by his works of the law, understood as an external conformity to what the Lord was asking. After his conversion, he recognized that the path to holiness was not by deeds alone, but by Christ, by his grace, by faith in the Lord that leads to a loving communion with him, and that the deeds, those fruits, flow naturally from any branch attached to Christ, the vine. That was the notion of the new holy life that Paul himself adopted after his conversion and spread throughout the church, that he recognized that he was no longer living on his own, but he had been crucified with Christ, and the life he now lived, he lived by faith in the Son of Man, who loved him and gave himself up for him. That's the real conversion that the Lord's asking of us as well, that we go from our own notions of what God wants of us to the true notion of what God wants of us. And depending upon where we are, there may be different conversions needed. For some of us, we think that the Christian faith is just following the rules. No, the Lord wants it to be a life of love. For some of us, we think that it's just a mediocre life, that we don't commit mortal sins, that we don't do anything to offend the Lord, rather than something that we wish to maximally please him. Ultimately, we're all called to be converted to a true notion of the holiness God expects of us and wants of us and sends the Holy Spirit to bring about, so that we will become docile to what God wants, so that we will recognize that the true measure of our freedom is seen in the total gift of ourselves to God and to others out of love. But there's another deeper conversion in Paul, too, that most of us need to live. It's an ecclesial conversion. St. Paul had a deep sense of the unity that God wanted. And that was one of the driving forces that led him to be a terrorist in the ancient world for the Christians, a great persecutor. When he initially looked at this Christian sect, he saw something that was dividing the Judaism that he loved. He had gotten orders precisely to try to stamp out this sect because it was creating harm. And he went to Damascus precisely because that was an area where the church was very strong. He wanted to stamp it out there as well. But then the Lord Jesus met him. The Lord could have met him anywhere. He could have met him in his bedroom in Jerusalem. Why'd he wait to meet him in Damascus? Because that's where the church was strong. I'll get to that in a second. Stronger than in Jerusalem. And his great words in that encounter Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. Jesus had been crucified 6 years before. So Saul thought. But such was the identification between Christ and his bride, the church, that whatever we do to the least of his brothers and sisters, we were doing to Christ himself. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That's the bond between Christ and his body. And Saul got it. Then Jesus instructed, what do you want me to do, Lord? It would have been easy for Jesus to say, okay, Saul, I want you to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He didn't. He said, go into Damascus, and there you will be told what you need to do. And the Lord pierced Ananias, this good holy member of the church in Damascus. It says, I want you to go to Paul. He's praying to me right now in a house on Straight Street. And Ananias was at first afraid because he knew Paul was the great persecutor. But the Lord told him not to be afraid. And then the church, represented by Ananias, went to visit Paul on Straight Street. And what were Ananias's first words? Brother Saul. He got exactly what the Lord was asking. Baptized him, made him a member of that body. The scales fell from his eyes. And Paul, throughout the whole rest of his life, went from a persecutor of the church to the greatest promoter of the church in history. And he spent his entire ministry trying to found cells of that one church throughout the world while keeping them all in union. He had two great images for the unity of the church. The first was one body. The second was bride. These are the two great ecclesiological images, that we're united to Christ as a body to the head, as a bride to the bridegroom. That's the unity that the Lord intends. So today, as we come forward at the end of this octave of Christian unity, after 8 days of prayer and union with the Lord in the Mass, that we might all be one as the Father, Holy Spirit, and Son are one, we ask through the intercession of St. Paul for the same ecclesial conversion, that we might recognize the incredible centrality of the church in God's salvific plans. Allow ourselves truly not just to call each other brother or sister, but to look upon each other as a true spiritual sibling, chosen by the Lord personally and sent into our lives, sent into our church, precisely so that we might live as a family with them, as cells of the same mystical body, as bride. And St. Paul had the great pleasure, the great privilege, the great joy of celebrating the Mass in the early church. And he recognized that this is the means of our communion. And he said to the Corinthians, how can we have divisions immediately after the celebration of the Mass? Do you not know when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we become one body, one spirit in Christ. Let us ask the Lord for union among all his followers, Catholic, fallen away Catholic, our separated brothers and sisters in the Orthodox and Protestant ecclesial communions, that today, through Paul's intercession, we might seek what the Lord prayed for in this Mass we're now entering.